Good morning, finally, everybody. let's see here. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Manhattan. I'm Dick Beeman. The UUFM is a welcoming congregation. We open our doors and arms to all people, regardless of who you are. As UUs, we draw from many sources of wisdom. We welcome the opportunity to discuss and to be introduced to different worldviews and different traditions. We are atheists, agnostics, and theists. We are humanists, naturalists, and mystics. Our religious tradition has a Christian heritage, but we are also inspired by findings from science, humanist ethics, and teachings of many of the world religions. In this fellowship, inerrancy is a four-letter word. I extend a special welcome to visitors who are encouraged to sign the guest book at the back and indicate whether they would like to receive a newsletter. Are there any guests that want to be introduced or introduce themselves? Welcome anyway. Okay, announcements. Announcements are, as usual, on the inside of your order of service. And in addition, I have three others. Gwen Gieselman, many of you know, is moving away. And there will be a farewell lunch for her right after fellowship at Ramblers on Highway 24.
And let me know if
you're coming, so I can let them know about it. Secondly, I'd like to announce that Eric Manor is has his ordination service a week from today, Sunday, June 2nd at 4 o'clock. At the All Souls Unitarian Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So, congratulations, Eric. Everyone is invited to attend. And thirdly, Drew has an announcement.
Good morning. Hopefully everybody's heard about it by now. On Saturday, June 8th, the fellowship is going to take all of the conversations we've been having about values and vision to sort of a conclusion for now and have a workshop to develop a vision statement. If you look in the order of service, there's an insert and it has this picture on it. The bottom of that is an RSVP form, and we'd love it if you could RSVP whether you're going to come or not so that we know to expect you. There will be childcare. There will be lunch provided. It is a little bit of a long day, but I think it'll be worth it. I think it'll be a really enjoyable and empowering and exciting event. So I hope to see as many people there as possible. Thank you.
Tom, would you light the chalice? Thank you. During today's program and during the ensuing discussions, as we try to come to an understanding of life energy, let us all bear in mind that our intention is what guides our energy, which in turn guides our bodies. And now Michael will lead hymn 1011.
Have been modified for us in his version. Home happens to be Israel, but home can be wherever it turns out to be. Okay, we'll sing first, and maybe the first sequence, and then we'll perhaps ask you to join us and sing it together. And we'll see. We'll start. Come on, might as well stand up.
Return again, return again, return to the whole of your soul. Return again, return to the whole of your soul.
We'll try that with
Return again, return to the home of your soul.
Good. All right, second part.
Return to who you are. Return to what you are. Return to where you are. Born and reborn again. Return to who you are. Return to what you are. Return to where you are. Born and return again.
All right, we'll start at the beginning. Twice through the first sequence, twice through the second sequence, and then once through the first sequence. All right?
Return again. Return again. Return to the home of your soul. Return again. Return again. Return to the home of your soul. Return to who you are. Return to what you are. Return to where you are. Born and reborn again. Return to who you are. Return to what you are. Return to where you are. Born and reborn again. Return again. Return again. Return to the home of your soul.
I guess we're done. Good job.
Are there joys and concerns?
Dick, Dick. There we go.
Okay. We have a great joy today because our daughter is coming to visit for a few days after a year of treatment for acute leukemia. Acute lymphoma. Very successful treatment, as it appears. So we're absolutely delighted. Been looking forward to it for 10 months since we last saw her.
Yeah. I'm Edith Hendricks, and this is the last Sunday that I'll be here for a while. And that makes me very sad because I love this fellowship so very much.
Morning, Michael Oldfather. And last weekend, we were in Albany to visit our daughter and then our younger son, who both live and work there with their and live with their spouses and our two grandchildren. One of the things we did was to go to a very old-fashioned event Saturday night aimed at building up a support to keep an old coffee house in, what's the name of that town in... Where'd we go? You were with me. Where they have the racetrack north of Saratoga Springs, anyway. And and a group of 10 musicians sang songs, and I knew and was able to sing along for 2 hours with all but one of them. And I did not lower or raise the average age of those in attendance, something that doesn't happen very often. Next morning, I went to the Unitarian Society, Unitarian Universalist Society of Albany, and a couple of things will be of interest to you. Like us, they had an old sanctuary and then built a new one, which is modern and which has chairs like ours.
Well, remember when I said I was engaged? I told people this, but I hadn't really announced it, that I broke off the engagement. So I'm single again, so just letting you guys know. So, yay.
Jim Chanteau. I have a concern first and a joy. The concern is that the Manhattan Municipal Band, of which I've been a member for over 30 years now, performs on Memorial Day, and I hardly ever see any UUs come out to the Memorial Day concert, Monday evening at 7. So you could make that a joy by showing up, and I'd be happy to. You can see me on the stage. I sit first alto in the sax section, the one closest to the audience. For the Monday concert, it'll be mostly patriotic-type music, but it is live music, and that's always good. Oops.
I have a joy this way. But it began as a concern. On Monday, my husband, Lindsay Smith, he fell from scaffolding while working where he does at the museum on campus and was in the hospital for 3 days. And the joy is that he's really okay. He's perfectly fine. So I just wanted to share that. He's home and no permanent damage other than the type he already had. So we're happy.
Others? Okay, thank you. We are mindful that there are many joys and concerns that are unexpressed. If the kids will come forward now, Glenn is going to tell you something.
Y'all want to gather around over here? How's everybody doing today?
Good.
Are you enjoying being out of school?
Yeah.
What is this?
Yeah, I think I can. Yeah. Yeah, that'll work. Thank you. So, we're going to talk today. My talk today is about Reiki, which is an energy healing exercise. Louder? All right. Is that better? All right. So Reiki is an energy healing technique. And the founder, Mr. Sui, he lived in Japan about 100 years ago. I want to start off asking a couple questions. Have you ever had things that you've been worried about or upset about, made you forget to do stuff? What?
I forgot to clean.
You forgot to clean your room. Yeah. Were you worried about something that made you forget to clean your room?
Yes.
What were you worried about?
My mom would take the toys on my
floor. Yeah. Whoa. I got it. No worries. Anybody else? Were you worried about something and didn't do your homework? You wanted to go do something else? No? Yeah? That's one with my two. They love to do that. They want to go play, and so they don't do their homework. Well, one of the big things that Mr. Sui found was that we got to figure out how to do our work honestly, right? And if we're worried or afraid about things, then makes it hard to do that, doesn't it? We get distracted. We want to go do all kinds of other stuff, right? So he studied very hard in things there, and he discovered Reiki. And he went and worked in the poorest districts of Japan. He healed people and helped them get back on their feet and start life again. And after a few years, he started seeing the same people over and over again. He started asking them why. He said, well, these people, they tell him that there's so many things that to worry about living a normal life that it's just easier to be a beggar. They didn't want to take that responsibility to do their work honestly. to not worry about those things they can't affect, right? So it was just easier. And he left them then, went back to the monastery, and was trying to learn another way to help people. And that's when he came up with teaching meditation and the five principles of Reiki. And they are, just for today, I will not worry. Just for today, I will not be angry. Just for today, I will be kind to every living creature. Just for today, I will do my work honestly. And just for today, I will count my many blessings. What are some ways that you think you can do that in your life? Can you... Yeah. Very good. Just for today, to do it honestly. When you have stuff that you're worried about, what can you do about it? Not try to think about it. What about you? Yes, it will. You can talk to your parents about it, right? So if you have something that you're worried about or that you're afraid of, you can talk to your parents about it, right? What are some ways that you can count your many blessings, that you can be thankful and grateful for things? No ideas? Oh. That's something to be grateful for, yes. What are some ways that you can show that you're grateful for that? Giving stuff to homeless people, okay. Help keep it clean, yeah. Giving back, yes. Giving gifts, definitely. Can you say thank you to your parents? Can you say thank you to your teachers? Right? You don't have teachers right now. No teachers at all? Yeah. Your parents, right? Your Sunday teachers, right? So you still have teachers, right? Not as many, no. Okay. So I wanted to show you a couple exercises that Mr. Sui used in teaching Reiki and teaching how to work on yourself. Okay? So can everybody sit with your legs crossed, or sit on your knees for me. And everybody can join in on these too from where you're sitting. All right? So the first one, all you're going to do is you're going to touch the back of your hands together. All right? Right in front of you. Get as much of your wrists touching as you can. Okay? Hold it close to your body. Now take a breath in. You feel how it makes your belly move? You can't hardly breathe through your chest. It starts pushing your breath down deeper in your body. You don't feel that? Oh, okay. Yeah, that would be why. Okay? And when you can take a time in the morning or in the evening or whenever, when you're feeling worried or when you're feeling afraid or angry, and you can take a couple deep breaths from your belly, making your belly move just like this. And it'll help calm you down, take you out of that moment so you can see a better way to act. And then you don't have to act out of that fear or anger, right? So the second exercise, I want you to hold your hands like this, all right? I want you to imagine a water balloon in between your hands. Try to see it. Try to feel that weight of a water balloon in between your hands. Okay? Real slowly, squeeze the water balloon and then stretch it out. Real slow. Focus on your palms. Try to feel that water balloon in your hands. Do your hands feel heavy or like there's something pressing in between them? Kinda? Okay. Kinda? Yeah. Okay. It doesn't feel like a real water balloon, no. Yeah. That is the easiest exercise you can do to start feeling chi, which is life force, which is what Reiki is all about and what we're going to be talking about in a little bit here. And so if you take those moments when maybe you're feeling not so kind to every living creature, or like you can't do your work honestly, maybe you're a little angry or worried, you can take those moments and do some abdominal breathing and just lose yourself in finding that ball for a few minutes, and then you can get back to work, right? Get back to what you want to do, go play or whatever, right? Does that make sense? Okay.
The first reading this morning is from chapter 10 of the Tao Te Ching. In holding the soul and embracing oneness, can one be steadfast without straying? In concentrating the energy and reaching relaxation, can one be like an infant? In cleaning away the worldly view, can one be without imperfections? In loving the people and ruling the nation, can one be without manipulation? In the heavenly gates opening and closing, can one hold to the feminine principle? In understanding clearly all directions, can one be without intellectuality? Bearing it, rearing it, bearing without possession, achieving without arrogance, raising without domination. This is called the mystic virtue.
Can you hear me? First off, can you hear me up there? I hope so. Dick, am I jumping ahead?
Do you want me to introduce it, Katie?
Sure.
Okay, before Katie does her reading from Heart Sutra, I would like you to look past me and through me to the blank wall behind me. Please keep your attention on the emptiness of the wall as Katie reads Buddha's words from the Heart Sutra.
I'm going to go just a little deeper into that. As you're sitting, would you bring your awareness to the space of our sanctuary, shaped by the forms of walls surrounding it? Above you is an open or empty space shaped by the ceiling. And if you would, as Dick suggested, keep your attention focused to the forward, to that empty space, as I read you from the Heart Sutra. Buddha's word, the Heart Sutra of the Great Perfected Wisdom. If the Bodhisattva devotes himself to the deep practice of perfected wisdom, his seeing will enlighten the five foundations of being to emptiness in this time and lead away from every type of suffering and evil. Form is nothing other than emptiness, and emptiness is nothing other than form. Form is the same as emptiness, and emptiness is the same as form. It is the same with regard to perception, imagination, action, and thought. All teachings are forms of emptiness. They are not created and not obliterated. They are neither dirty nor are they pure. They do not increase nor do they dwindle. This is why there is no form, no perception, no imagination, no actions, and no thinking in the emptiness. Neither eyes, ears, nose, body, mind, nor sensual pleasures, sound, scent, taste, touch, and thought. No world of seeing, and also no world of consciousness. There is no delusion and no end to the delusion, and also no aging and dying. But there is also no end to aging and dying. There is neither suffering nor the cause of suffering. No obliteration and also no path. There is no knowledge and attainment, because there is nothing to attain. The Bodhisattva rests in the wisdom that has been perfected. Because his heart is free of attachments, he has no fear. Free of all illusions, he enters into nirvana for once and for all. All Buddhas of the past, the present, and the future who trust in the perfected wisdom achieve absolute enlightenment. This brings us to the insight that Hanyahara Mitta embodies, the magic formula of the great goddess. It is the magic formula of the great light, and it is incomparable with other magic formulas. Since it is the pure truth, it has the power to take away all suffering. This is the Heart Sutra of the perfected wisdom.
Today's speaker is Glenn Wary. Glenn is a soldier stationed at Fort Riley, working with wounded warriors at the Warrior Transition Battalion and Post Hospital. He is a certified acupuncturist, Reiki master, instructor in judo, jiu-jitsu, karate, and tai chi. He's been training in martial arts for 25 years and in the healing arts for 14 years, which I believe, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Glenn, but I think that means that if anyone's foolish enough to tangle with him, first he'll mess you up and then he'll fix you up. So.
Yep, that's a way to look at it. Right? Like we were just reading about, that's an interesting comment. That's been something that's been going through life these past few months, is that natural compassion and restraint, which is what healing arts bring you to. The training in martial arts, I learned long ago that if I learn, you know, figure out how to strain or injure something, I should learn how to make it feel better. Because martial arts, like so many other things, you can take it to compete. However, the goal of it's working on yourself. It's all about self-evolution, making yourself better. We did a couple exercises with the kids up here. I want to invite you to do a couple more with me, just three more simple ones. So if you feel up to it, please stand for me. I'll step over here to do it. These three exercises come from Tai Chi, but they're very good for introducing energy moving in the body. So the first one, all you're going to do is raise your hands up, keep them nice and relaxed, let them flow in and down. This is rocking motion. Let's do this a couple more times. Some people will probably start to feel a heaviness or tingling in their hands from doing this. All right, let's move into the next one here. It's called organ washing. All right, all you can do, your hands sweep out to the sides and up, over top of the head and back down. You may feel a heaviness or lightness, some kind of sensation through your arms and hands doing this. Okay? And the last one today, we're just going to hold our arms out in front of us. I want you to take three or four nice, slow, deep breaths while you're standing here. You can relax. How's that feel for everybody? Nice and opening up through the shoulders a little bit. What you just experienced there, if you felt that tingling or some extra heat, maybe a pressure in your arms, that's qi. That is the Chinese concept of qi. Okay? And it's life energy, is what it is. As the body moves, an electrical impulse goes from the brain through the muscles, making them contract, and that energy amplifies the magnetic field around the body. That's very simple, but for what we're talking about, it works. In Reiki, we use that your natural field of energy around the body. We channel in a healing energy, and we look for imbalances in that field, because to a skilled practitioner, we can feel that. As much as you felt the energy moving through your hands and arms, we can feel that as we scan over the body and feel where an imbalance is, and that's where we treat. In the most basic nutshell, that is what a Reiki session is. We talk to the client. We feel their energy. We're scanning. And then we treat the areas. Different things can cause those imbalances. Injuries, illness. But most of the issues that I see anyway, and I know most other practitioners that I know of see, are emotional issues. It's stress, it's worry, it's fear, anger, guilt, grief. These things accumulate in the body. And, you know, you have a hard day at work, you're going 90 miles an hour all day, come home and your low back is just killing you. That's that stress and tension building up in the body. Exercises like what we just did help that energy move, help your body relax, and to get those blockages to flow again. Acupuncture works on this principle, but it uses a different assessment method and pulses and points on the chest and back, asking questions. And then they stick needles into points to get that energy to move. Yoga and Tai Chi have this same principle behind them. They want you to move, stretch and bend and twist in different ways to allow that energy to keep moving, to get those blockages to work out so everything flows smoothly. Well, in Reiki, what I teach and practice is it's mostly about self-treatment. You have to work on yourself before you can truly help another. If you're sick, it's hard to help another sick person. If you're dealing with all this stress, tension, and frustration, it's hard to step back from that and to help somebody deal with their own stress, tension, and frustration. When Asui Sensei was in his search for Reiki, he meditated on a mountain for 21 days and received an illumination. That's not an enlightenment. He didn't go that far with it. But what he ultimately discovered after that, as you heard through the talk for all ages, was that you have to learn to work on the self. You have to learn how to help yourself get past some of these things, because we accumulate so much, especially these days compared to Japan 100 years ago. I mean, 100 years ago there, life was way slower than it is today. You wanted to go somewhere, you were on a horse, they may had some kind of motorized transport, but not like we do today. Today, we're 40 miles away, and we say, crap, I got an hour to get there. I got to rush. Well, that starts the tension process. Life is so fast. Working on yourself is how you help yourself slow down, take those deep breaths, and relax. Get that tension out of yourself. A Reiki treatment, whether self or from another, helps relieve that. It applies that natural healing energy to those areas to make that energy that's blocked start moving again and to help you process what's going on. To that end, we'll talk to our clients, we'll work on ourselves, but we'll go over these principles, like I said, just for today. Will not worry. Will not be angry. I'll do my work honestly. I'll be kind to every living creature, and I'll count my many blessings. I meant to bring the study from Dr. Emoto in Japan. It was 20 or 30 years ago. He was studying water and the effect of intention on water. And he found that intending to give love, gratitude, joy to the water changed the molecular structure. And intending negative emotions like anger, the intent to harm, it also changed the structure. When he gave positive intention to the water, positive emotions, it took on symmetrical geometric forms. They look like snowflakes at the molecular level. And the negative emotions look just chaotic and scattered. And what he found was that plants, animals, and people can use the water better when it's got the perfect form. And so what we put out, those emotions that we put out, affect the world around us. It affects the water around us. It affects the rest of the world around us. So by taking on that state of gratitude, understanding that we have a lot to be grateful for, letting go of the anger and the fear and the worry, changes how we live our lives. And that's what the self-work is all about. It's changing how we live to make a better impact all around us, to our kids, to our work environment, all of it. When he taught these principles, he started with the idea of just for today. And this is a truth, because this is all you have. You can't change yesterday. You can try to make amends for it. You can try to deal with the fallout from whatever mistakes might have happened. But you cannot change yesterday. Those actions are gone. Tomorrow is the same way. It doesn't exist yet. You can plan for it. You can say, tomorrow I got to do this, this, and this. So I'm going to fill up my car today. I'm going to pull out this cash that I need to do this. I'm going to go get these groceries for the cookout. But you haven't actually affected tomorrow yet. You have to live those moments to affect them. And so that was his point, was to live in the moment. Be in that moment, whether it's talking with your family, working in the community, being at work with your tasks to finish. Be in that moment. The next part is that personal responsibility. I will. Not you will for me. Not I'm going to do for you. I'm going to do what I need to do for me. That's that personal responsibility of saying, you know, these different situations tend to make me angry. I'm going to let that go. I am worried about these different things that have to happen. I'm going to let that go. Getting past it, taking those deep breaths and saying, there is a solution. I know I can find it. Worry is one that I spend a lot of time talking to my students about because it's the one that affects us the easiest. It is almost sinister how it can sneak up on you and you find yourself worrying about things. In a martial arts, talking about worrying about something is easy. Because if I have a physical opponent standing there 10 feet away from me, I can't do anything. I have to move to bring him to reach. If he's 5 feet away, now it's right at the edge of what I need to worry about. Because now just one step and he's there. When he's 3 feet away, now he's definitely inside my sphere of influence. I have the whole realm of possibility. In life, this applies too. How many times do we reach out for things that are just beyond our grasp to actually affect? but we try to pull them in and worry about them when we can't actually take actions. We need to learn to let those things be until they move in naturally to our sphere of influence. Once they're in there, we have all kinds of things. It's the bill at the end of the month. Well, I have 30 days to pay this because it's not due until the 25th. I don't have the money right now. I'll get it on the 28th. Okay. There's nothing else I need to worry about with it because I know the money's coming in. I'll address the bill when the money's there. I can let it go. So often we chase after it, whether it's appointments or needing to get something fixed, whatever. Wait till it's naturally in your sphere, and it'll come. That's about half of the self-work that I teach. The other half is getting into these meditations, and I've taken it a step further than some Reiki schools have. There's others that are joining me in this. They're talking about character now, because everybody gets codes of ethics, and I don't like lists of rules to follow. That's the Band-Aid that doesn't address the wound. And so I developed what I've termed the RICHES program, which, being in the Army, we love our acronyms, so I created one of my own. RICHES stands for 6 different character traits: respect, integrity, compassion, honesty, etiquette, and service. And the idea is you rank them, you put them in a priority. You define what the first one on your list and figure out a couple ways to live it. Spend a week doing it. The next week, you do the same thing. You work with number 2 and add it to your practice. Now, instead of a list of rules to follow, you're actually working on how you show respect to people, that you're honest in your practices and your words, that you're compassionate to those around you. And I don't ask my students to stick with those 6 because it should be unique. It should resonate with each one of them what they find the most important to be. Just outline the process, and it's never ending. I can work on as many of them as I want, or repeat the cycle as often as I want. But by doing these things, by working with Reiki on yourself, addressing these blockages in yourself, trying to live without worry and fear, working on your character, maybe incorporating some Tai Chi, Qigong, or yoga into life, now you've started a change in yourself. And this is where the original title comes from, the service, or the service was humans as healers. The idea is the more that you can express this in yourself, the more your energy flows freely, the more you can help those around you. When you're addressing these things in yourself, you see ways to address them. So now those conversations become easier as you're trying to help other people with them. From working on yourself, maybe doing a Tai Chi routine in the morning and a meditation at night, Reiki self-treatments throughout the day or as needed, or seeing another practitioner, you can start incorporating your family into it and change the paradigm, the way they live their lives. Because we talk so often, I find people who talk about, yeah, I'd love to do some Tai Chi in the morning and meditate and just slow down a little bit. But do we actually seek it? What are we doing to actually implement it in our lives? As we start working on ourselves and deciding these things are more important, giving them a higher priority, our family dynamic starts to change. The openness, the ability to talk about those hard subjects, these things that make us angry or afraid, to bring them to light and to work through them grows. And as it grows in the family, your neighbors, your friends, the people you work with, they're going to see it. And this is where groups can happen. Now groups are together working on these things. And this is where it starts to affect the community. Because now these groups are growing. Now they're doing work on themselves and on their families. And so when we talk about community action and community service, now you have more resources to pull from. And this is where humans as healers comes in. Because we've affected larger and larger groups. Not by actively going out and saying, this is what you need to do, this is what you got to do, but by walking the path. By saying, you know what, I need to work on this stuff in myself so that I can help my family and I can help these other people. And by doing that, now we've set that example. Our energy flows. Now people want to be around us. And that starts the chain reaction of more positive energy that can affect so much more. Like I said, Reiki is a channeled energy. There's three levels in it. The first level, I focus on almost entirely on self-work. It's not that the practitioner can't work on another, and I do teach them how to do it, but you got to start with yourself. You've got to work on your own imbalances, your own emotional issues, your own stresses and worries and fears to really be able to get into helping another. The second level is where we branch into more of helping other people. The tools expand, the meditations, the list of possible meditations to do grows. And we can really dig into how to help different imbalances. And the third level, master level, I bring it back around. And it's all about working on the self again. Because that is the end-all be-all of the art of almost any of the Eastern arts out there is work on the self. Because by working on yourself, you affect so many things around you. If you're exhibiting positive energy, that gratitude and compassion, you're affecting the people around you. Like Dr. Emoto showed, you're affecting water. 70% of water. So there's some trade-off every time. When you're around negative people, you can probably feel that, man, I just don't like being around them. They make me nervous. They make me concerned. When you're around positive people, they're uplifting. You're smiling and laughing more. These are the effects that we can have through the practice of Reiki, through most any energy work, because we're working on the self. Reiki is growing. It's gotten rather large. Walter Reed and the Mayo Clinic both incorporate Reiki into their therapies now, especially for soldiers with PTSD and TBI, people recovering from cancer through chemotherapy, surgery, whatnot. They can get Reiki therapy alongside. It doesn't replace any Western medicine technique. It's an alongside treatment. We stress that. There are so many regulations about it. We have to stress it. But it's just common sense as well. It says, you have these issues. You need to go get them checked out and treated. But you need to look at health holistically from all aspects. And what can you do through Reiki, through Tai Chi, through Qigong, through your diet that's going to affect these things too? Most every military installation now, through the Resiliency Center, offers Reiki, and several are starting to offer Tai Chi as well. There's a growing awareness that these energy arts do actually have a great positive impact on the body. When when you can bring it together into a daily pattern, when you can find that priority in yourself that says, you know what, this is what I really believe I need to do, and I've put it off for so long, but now it's time to do it. When you can pick that up and start at any age, Tai Chi especially is great for any age. The oldest student that I've had in Tai Chi was 83, and she had fibromyalgia and some pretty severe arthritis. We kept her walking and kept her moving just by the slow, gentle exercises and a daily practice routine. When it becomes a priority, it expands so much, and everything in life can follow. So I want to end with a discussion with y'all to see, does anybody have any experience with Reiki or any other energy techniques? Can we get Heather?
I'm a second degree Reiki. I've actually put off working on my master's, my third level, because I was told, and I think it's because I was practicing the Western form and not the Eastern form, that the master's level was to teach. And I was struggling because I needed to start working on myself. I had it in the beginning, and I was able to move on and help others. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of lost being able to help myself, and that I recently just started the journey within the past like month of starting to do self-work, and I didn't even realize I was going on that path. But my experience was I was doing it when I was younger, a teenager, and I had no idea what I was doing. I actually took it to a very interesting level where I would actually physically massage. I would touch. Oh, no, don't touch. But I would actually physically touch and massage, and I intuitively did a guided meditation along with it, and people told me it felt like they left their body. Mm-hmm. And I was told that it felt like I was able to bridge people, and taking them out left like an empty well for me to work easier inside the body, and then get their energy moving, so when they came back in, it they kind of felt something that was very extraordinary from what they told me. But I hadn't done it in a while because I needed to work on self.
Yep. And there are so many energy practices out there through Qigong, through different meditation systems. There are several out there. Reiki is unique in that it's a channeled energy. You're not, a lot of these other systems, you end up feeling these tensions yourself. It's called transference. You take on a lot of these emotional issues. The neat thing with Reiki is that you don't. It's a separate energy. You don't have to take those things on. And it can be as gentle as a massage. Many of my students are massage therapists. And it can be as unique as a guided meditation.
Hi, I'm Anna Franklin, and I teach yoga. I've been doing it for many, many years. I just wanted to address the thing that you were talking about beginning to practice and work on yourself on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a prime example of human nature. I knew about yoga from the time I was a little child because both my parents practiced. But you know, the arrogance of youth prevented me until I was in an extreme emotional situation. And then I had really nowhere else to turn. It was only then that I began to work on myself. So if you are resisting working on yourself, believe me, it's very, very normal. But
yes.
But I would say, you know, I would prefer to say that I began working on myself before I got into that situation, you know. Now I'm, you know, working on myself all the time. And your need to work on yourself really never goes away. You know, life keeps happening, and you keep having reasons that you have to work on yourself. And if you can work on yourself before that thing happens, then you can handle it better. And, you know, that's what we're talking about. I also, if you don't mind, just want to put a little announcement out here that I don't know why I haven't said this before, but we have the Soto Zen meditation group, which is free every evening at 7:30 to about 8:45. We sit for 40 minutes and we talk at my studio, 321 Points Avenue. Everyone is welcome. If you just want to find out what it's like to sit down, shut up, and feel the energy, please join us.
Definitely. It's neat how much the body initially resists. Our egos, our sense of individuality and self, get in our own way because we've done something for so long. It's a comfort zone. We only know how to exist in that method. And so until that crisis occurs, that's all they know. And so they resist starting the process of working on the self. Anybody else?
Hi, I'm Pat Embers, and I work with, I'm an occupational therapist, and I work with autistic kids, and actually I'm retired, so now I'm working one day a week, and I'm doing just that, and I'm kind of enjoying just, you know, specializing in that. But one of the things I do with them is brain gym exercises, and I've learned that, and I've, you know, had some training in that and quite a bit of experience with kids. But this year, it's been really different. And I always feel like kids are the best teachers, really. And it's just amazing what I'm seeing with this one boy who's in the fifth grade. And really what you would call a behavior problem, but so much of it is really his neurological problem and behavior too. But still, what we're finding with this energy, and the parents and the teachers are very good about carrying out what we're learning, what I'm teaching and what they're doing. They're doing some of it on their own, you know, when they want to, and they like it. It's just real simple exercises. But I just learn so much from these kids in that energy, because you see the changes that they go through, you know, and those of us, those adults, were around them and we're like, gosh, you know, we didn't know they could do that. And it has to do with that energy, I think, and the intention and, yes, you know, what it goes with in terms of the relationship. But kids are great teachers with, yes, that. It really helps me sit up and look like, okay, I should be doing this more or something, you know.
I'm Jane Pelletier. So, in your practice, it sounds to me like you do a lot of talking with people and
I do.
Directing them to do for themselves and that,
yes,
sort of thing. But what do you actually do? What, I mean, I know it's not massage, but how does this energy work?
When I, the actual practice of,
yeah,
the Reiki,
yeah,
treatment.
Yes.
As I had, you know, we said during the chalice lighting and at other times, intention guides the energy, right? So as I'm talking to somebody, usually they come to see me because of a physical issue, pain in the shoulders, pain in the back or knees, and that's the area that I address primarily. And I will, depending on where it is, like the lower leg or the arm, have no issues. I will simply put my hand directly on the area and intend for that energy to flow. Okay. Now, in the case of working on somebody on the abdomen, I generally won't put my hand down. That doesn't stop the energy from flowing, though. Okay. And it is a definite sensation. You feel the hands get very warm, and it starts to relax that area. Well, if I may.
In Reiki, there are symbols that we use to focus ourselves to the energy of our heart. Project.
We held the ball, right? And you started to feel, some of you probably started to feel that pulsation between your hands, that slight tingling or heat or coolness, almost like a breeze for some, between your hands. You can feel that radiating off of somebody else. That's chi. And as I'm working on somebody, I'm scanning down their body and I'm feeling that sensation. The more you work with it, the more aware of it you are, and the more in-depth you can get, the more subtle differences stand out. I've been doing Reiki for 10, 11 years now, and so in my practice, it's very, I can feel just these, it's almost like peaks and valleys. And so that tells me I don't look to qualify the difference. I don't need to know that it's hotter here or colder here or tingles more or feels like it's pushing on my hand more. I just look for different. And that's an area to treat. Because I'm not a doctor. I'm not a counselor. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not here to diagnose and treat things like that. I'm here to find an energy imbalance and work on it. So I don't need to know all those specifics. I don't need to know the medicines. I don't need to know all that stuff. All I need to know is that there's an imbalance that I can work on. Does that answer your question? Okay.
So Anna again. So I practiced Tai Chi for about 5 years on a daily basis. And this is just a story about energy and how these movements and these practices really move the energy through the body. And I was instructed to not practice with food in my stomach. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it just so happened one day I was walking out in the country by a creek near my house and had forgotten that I just ate a big Sunday meal and was inspired by the beauty of nature to do a Tai Chi practice. And so, I took a couple of deep breaths and settled in, and I began the movements. And I would say it took probably less than 2 minutes for the energy to reach my full stomach, and it felt like I had been punched in the stomach. And I was like, ooh, I guess I shouldn't be doing this right now. So that's the power of the energy moving through your body, and it really is the energy, and the energy of the stomach is changed, mm-hmm. Because it's full of solid matter, So.
Yep. I think we got time for one last. Is that it? Okay.
So my name is Tanya. Thank you for having me. I'm one of Glenn's students with Reiki, and I've been fairly new at this. I'm Reiki Master Practitioner, not yet teaching. We kind of broke that off separate, but still learning more about the practice myself. But to answer your question, a lot of times it is somewhat of an intuitive practice as well. And when you are treating someone, I know for myself, and it manifest differently for each practitioner, but a lot of times I can actually feel what is going on inside of you. Not necessarily, and please, I'm not trying to be mystical about it, but I might start to feel some wrist pain and treat that area, and I'll ask questions. I'll say, do you type a lot? What kind of work do you do? Do you use your hands and your wrists a lot? Do you use your arms quite a bit or whatever? I might feel fatigue there, or feel some tightness in my shoulders, in my lower back. You know, we talked this morning, you and I can't remember your name. Shirley. Thank you, Ms. Shirley. I actually, when we did the somewhat of a Reiki treatment on you, a little mini session, I felt your lower back was tight. My lower back felt tight. Obviously not to the degree perhaps that you might feel within yourself, but empathetic pain, sympathetic pain, if you can imagine. I'm sure you've probably had that with your children sometimes when they've gotten injured, or your spouse if she's pregnant, or, you know, whatever, or a friend who's injured, whatnot. So very similar to that as well, if that helps you.
So I guess we have time for one more in the back.
Well, I'm glad you're here again. I'm J.D. Penn's grandmother, and you said you met him in Afghanistan when he came over to thank you soldiers for being there. Mm-hmm. And I want you to put this where you might be doing some training.
Oh, wow.
Martial arts. And when, if he comes to see me, I want you to welcome him to come, and he would really be happy to see that that was there. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Glenn, for a wonderful presentation. Closing song.
Joined Topeka in hiring jointly a part-time minister for each of us, and we found this song, and this we went there and led the music, and this is the song. It's in the gray hymnal, right? Come on, stand up. Let's go. 346.
Come sing a song with me. Come sing a song with me. Come sing a song with me, that I might know your mind. Then I'll bring you home, when hope is hard to find. And I'll bring a song of love, and a rose in the winter time. Come dream a dream. Come share a rose with me. Come share.